It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Webb. And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. Snoop Daniel alongside as well. Before we get to our man, Mike Roach, here, a couple of cleanup items from our number one. Somebody thought you guys were talking about beer. It says the Broken Skull IPA is the best.
It's good.
You like that?
Good.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the McPlant, the plant-based burger McDonald's coming out of Diva Lance. Jason says, if you're vegan, it's a great idea. But if you enjoy meat, you're just adding more carbs you don't need. You just eat a salad. Also, if you're eating a burger, why are you at McDonald's? That's his question. When I talk about the Mountain Dew Code Red, Putz number 13 says, just hearing the words Mountain Dew Code Red gives me heart palpitations. By the way, and I just said his name, I checked with Trey Elling. They did not, it was neither Trey nor BK who gave that.
Oh, our texter from yesterday?
The texter whose name would come. They say you can trace that back to all the way back to days when Tyler Coe was here. They said that had him written all over it.
Okay.
Those kinds of things. Unfortunately, they can't get into the algorithm to change it.
No.
So we're kind of stuck with that for a little bit. So. Because Chad said it used to be real easy to do. Lately, they're trying to see if they could fix that. Victor says here about the Florida guy who was shooting up drugs on Zoom in the court. So you're saying it's not okay to shoot up while on a Zoom call? Okay, noted. Like a George Costanza. Was that wrong? Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? Because if I thought there was any reason. And somebody else said in a story about Lee Harvey Oswald, I mentioned that the barber who cut his hair the day before the assassination cut my oldest son's hair when he was real little in the early 90s, said Oswald wanted to be a squared-away Marine for the news camera, and he got a haircut. He goes, I say that as a fellow Marine. And then finally, our man CB, who yesterday was celebrating a birthday. Excuse me.
Wanted to know.
Yeah, they had a little allergy cough, little thing stick. Wanted to know, what was that picture of ice cream you posted last night? And it was something that I saw on Twitter, and I put it on my Facebook page, and I said, if this is a sign of the apocalypse, I might just be ready for the rapture. What it is, Snoop Daniel, is a picture of an ice cream flavor for Christmas, and it's Little Debbie Christmas Tree Cakes ice cream. Do you ever like those, Jeff? The Christmas tree cakes, sizzle cakes from Little... Well, now they've got it in ice cream. It's coming out next month.
I will definitely at least give that a try.
Okay, all right.
Those are really good.
Yeah, all right. So that's what that was all about. All right, leading us off here in hour number two, recruiting editor, Horns 24/7, none other than Mike Roach. Michael, thanks for the time. How are you today?
I'm good, fellas. How are you all?
Good. Jeff said you're going to give us some wrap up, some clean up of the trip to New Orleans, right?
Yeah, whatever you guys want.
Well, before we get into Arch Manning mania, which I know that's what everybody listening to this wants to hear, Mike, set the table for this weekend. I mean, Texas, they had a healthy group of recruits in terms of number and quality for the Texas Tech game, but nothing that compares to the visit list that what it's going to look like by the time the dust settles tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, Texas has a tremendous opportunity tomorrow. The table is set for a big weekend. They've just got to serve the right meal. And, I think if you look back over, I was telling Nick Harris, who works with us, that you know, we forgot how to do these visit lists last year with COVID because the, you know, visitors weren't allowed. So I forgot kind of what these big visitor weekends were like. And so I thinking back to, you know, when Texas faced LSU or when they hosted USC a couple of years ago, I mean, we had some massive lists. And this one's right up there with them. Five official visitors who are all big, big-time targets in the 2022 class. And then when you look at the amount of talent coming in the 2023 class, in the 2024 class in this group, it's insane. And I'm talking, you know, you've got multiple five-stars. You've got huge, huge targets that Texas is looking to make a huge impression on. And then even 2022 unofficial visitors, guys like Evan Stewart and Jaleel Skinner, who just committed to Alabama but still going to make the visit. I mean, there's in total four or five stars, the number one quarterback in the country, the number one running back in Texas, number one wide receiver and O-lineman in Texas, and number one linebacker in America and number one cornerback in Louisiana, all coming in this weekend. So massive, massive list. Like I said, they've just got to serve the right meal.
Mike, let's talk about the official visitors real quick. And I know the focus probably immediately goes to the line of scrimmage. Ernest Green from St. John Bosco out in California is in this weekend. Quincy Wiggins from Madison Prep in Baton Rouge. It's Malcolm Roach's alma mater. Quincy Wiggins is in this weekend. And then Larry Turner Gooden is also in for his official. Mike, I know it's tough to say one of these guys is more important than the other, but what do you think, if you could get inside Steve Sarkisian's head, what should the goal be, the focus be, specifically on these five official visitors this weekend?
I mean, you obviously want to score big on every one of them. I mean, I don't think a coach ever goes in and say, well, we're just focused on this one and
right.
We don't care about the other. But, I mean, it's hard to say that it's not Ernest Green at this point, just because of the need on the offensive line. And getting a guy like Ernest Green and what that can mean to that unit. I think equally, despite the numbers they have on the defensive line already in this class, Quincy Wiggins is right up there, especially when you look at kind of what happened to the defensive line last week against Oklahoma. So, you know, this is a staff that's been dedicated to building along the line of scrimmage and building this class up front to start. So I think any plus talent they add in the trenches is the goal.
Mike, there's always going to be so much emphasis also, that at least from the fan perspective, when a big-name quarterback comes to town, and there's no name bigger, obviously, on the high school front than Arch Manning. First of all, what was your vibe on the New Orleans visit, and then your thoughts on his visit and what he expects or what you think he may encounter with this whole visit tomorrow for being on the sidelines for the Texas game?
Yeah, it's obviously this one's the one everybody's been looking for a while. And I think, you know, for Manning, like I said from the very beginning when I went out to see him in the spring, I think Texas just remains in as good of a spot as they can be. I think that anybody rushing to tell you that a decision's coming soon or that there's leaders formulating, I think that's a little premature. But if you are Texas, you put yourself in as strong of a position as you can be in at this time. And so, you know, Arch has visited a couple of schools. He's visited Alabama. He's visited Georgia. But Texas is a school that remains very, very high. And a lot of that's due to the relationship he has with A.J. Milway and Steve Sarkisian and what he's seen offensively and the opportunities he's seen at the quarterback position. So, again, I think, you know, Austin is a city that appeals to him. But being there and getting to see hopefully what is a raucous environment for an 11 a.m. kick, I think back to kind of the Tech game, and if you can get that kind of crowd and that kind of reaction and heck, that kind of performance, I think Steve Sarkisian would love that. And you know, from there, I think you've got a chance to really submit yourself as a leader for a guy who many think is a potentially program-changing quarterback.
Yeah, Mike, that's kind of where I wanted to go with it. I know Sark and A.J. Mill, we, you know, went and saw him last night. The Arch Manning playing the Thursday night game, they went and saw him last night down in New Orleans. I mean, and you've, I mean, anybody that's a subscriber to Horns 24/7 knows you've painted the picture. You've been down there a couple of times. You've covered this recruitment, I think, better than probably anybody in the Texas market at this point. I mean, if you're Sarkin AJ Milley, do you feel good enough probably where it's just, hey, stay the course, keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, you're probably going to be in a really good position at the end of the day. Maybe you don't need to get too outside the box on this one at this point.
Yeah, I don't think anybody feels they need to make a major move at this point or really push that hard. They've done a lot just being themselves and just being who they are, and I just don't really think that's Sark's style. I mean, if you just get the vibe of, you know, listening to him talk, you know, Craig, you probably talk to him more than anybody. You understand how laid back he is and how kind of even-natured he is.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, I talked to a source last week before the Oklahoma game and just said something about, you know, I mean, how is everything, you know, with him and before the game? And they're like, it's just like any other game. I mean, he treats everything kind of like it is the same. So I get that impression in recruiting as well, that he's just, you know, we're going to do what we do. We're going to build the relationship. And, you know, if it works, it works. And I don't see him doing anything drastic. So I think that they've done a lot of work and you know, he talked when he was hired about really authentically building relationships, and every vibe I've gotten from kids since he's been here is that is the plan for them, and that is exactly what they do. So yeah, I don't see him really pressuring. I think it's, and you know, Arch even said that to me last week when I talked to him, is the thing he likes most about Sark is how laid back he is and how he doesn't always feel like he's being pitched by him when he's around him. He just feels like the two can relate.
Mike, I want to go back to the offensive line real quick and go back to the 2022 class. You know, Kelvin Banks, all indications were over the summer when he made his decision that it was down to Texas or Texas A&M. He ends up committing to Oregon, and you've got, you know, your Mike at Night column last night kind of lays out some of the details in this recruitment right now. But it's safe to say, Mike, this is one that, you know, if you're Kyle Flood and this coaching staff, you're not stopping pursuit of Kelvin Banks until, you know, pen hits paper and somebody's got an LOI on signing day.
Yeah, I think that you've got to, you know, there's so many times, I thought about this last night, there's so many times Texas has kids from out of state, even in this class, you can think about it, with guys like Jamon Tapp and Justice Finkley. And the goal, you know, we always say they're going to have to recruit those guys through signing day to make sure that the Alabamas of the world or the LSUs where they live, you know, don't end up picking them off at the end. And I think that Texas needs to be that way for kids in their state, that other schools need to be worried about recruiting through the whistle and making sure Texas doesn't flip a kid late that they get out of state. So I did talk to Kelvin last night, and I talked to some people close to him. You know, they did reiterate that he is fully committed to Oregon at this point and not really having any second thoughts. But they also said that he is planning on probably taking in a visit, said it could be this weekend, just depending on, you know, if he can get down there or not. And so I think anytime you have a kid on campus, you've got an opportunity, and you've got to make the most of that opportunity. And with a player like Banks of importance, I think you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I guess that begs the question about how realistic in the minds of the recruiter is it when you have someone with those kinds of high school ratings and credentials coming in for an official visit during a game, even after they've already committed somewhere else, what goes into the minds of the recruiters, Mike, about how realistic the opportunity is to get someone to swing, to change their mind there, even as they're busy with other guys on an official visit who haven't made a commitment yet?
I think a lot of guys are going to, you know, they'll take any opportunity they can get for a player like that that's as high on the board as Kelvin Banks is for Texas. And I think that, you know, it's not a situation where you get him on, if you do get him on campus, you just sit there and press him to flip. I think that you let the product play out for itself, and you let it see, hey, look, we've got opportunity on the offensive line to play. We've got an offense that, despite, you know, what I would generously call average offensive line play, is putting up 50 points a game. And, you know, you could be a big factor in helping us take the next step with it. So, you know, that's really, I don't see them putting a hard press on. I think it's just more of a, you know, continuing to build that relationship, almost starting like new again in the recruitment if they are able to get him on campus and going from there.
Mike, I know there were a lot of recruits at the Oklahoma game last week in Texas as the designated home team handled the ticket requests for recruits. And I know we talk all the time about, look, recruits don't look at it emotionally as fans do and change opinions one way or the other based on the outcome of a game, good or bad. But overall, what was the vibe you got from recruits who were inside the Cotton Bowl last week?
A lot of excitement. I think there was some disappointment at the end. I think a lot of those guys wanted to see Texas win it, and that was what they were looking for. But a lot of excitement about the way the game started, the way the offense played in general. And you know, I think that if you talk about a storyline that I'm really watching this weekend that I think could be massive for Texas, and I don't want to quite say the words commit watch or anything like that, but Evan Stewart was in the building last week. He saw what Xavier Worthy did. He understands that Xavier Worthy has the same skill set he does. And he's coming back this week. And I again, I don't want to say Evan Stewart's on commit watch or anything, but there's a feeling that Texas is right now putting more or gaining more momentum with Evan than they have in the last couple of months. And I think another big performance from Xavier Worthy could really help put them over the top. So, you know, that's an example of even though you didn't win the game, you made an impression. And I think that I wrote this coming out of the weekend is that your recruiting doesn't change. If you're Steve Sarkisian coming off that game, you tell Evan Stewart, hey, we've got one receiver who's got your skill set, and he did that to Oklahoma. Now just think how cool it would be if we had two. You know, you tell Devon Campbell, we could sure use your help up front on the offensive line, but just imagine what we'd be able to do with a few more guys like you. You tell Harold Perkins and Denver Harris, think if we had you guys on this defense and what you could do to help step in and help. So I think that it was, while it wasn't optimal, it was different than getting completely blown out and looking outclassed. So that was the difference to me.
You can get him on Twitter, at MikeRoach247. Get all of his outstanding work at Horns247. We've got the visit preview, plenty on Arch Manning. The Mike at Night update from last night on Kelvin Banks, the five-star offensive tackle from Summer Creek down in Humble. All of that and more at Horns247. And anywhere you get your podcasts, search Horns247, click that follow button. Not only do you get every episode of Longhorn Blitz, but you can also get Mike and Nick Harris on the State of Recruiting Podcast. Horns247 recruiting editor Mike Roach joining us here for his weekly visit on Light the Tower on the Horn. Mike, thanks so much, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Mike.
No problem. Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
All right. It's Mike Roach, Horns247. Up next, we'll get to another Longhorn notebook. Because now we're getting to keys, aren't we?
Three keys to a Longhorn victory coming up next.
Just around the corner. Stay tuned for that as we continue to light the tower here on this Friday on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Friday here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. And we're with you up till the noon hour. Then the Church and Skins, Chad and Trey, followed by RBKD, Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, coming your way. Don't forget, tonight, high school football on the Horn on 104.9, right here to catch the matchup between the Lake Travis Cavaliers and the Del Valle Cardinals. That's tonight. And then on 105.3, the Bat, coming your way, 7:30 kickoff. And 7:15 to the booth with D. Hansen and Steve Foster. It's Bowie and Akins. And, of course, it's Mark Honig and Bucky Godbold and Stu Myrick on the Lake Travis call for that one. A couple of programming notes to make you aware of for next week. Next week, as we know, is an open date on the Texas football schedule.
Don't call it a bye week. It's an open date.
Open date.
Nobody's taking a week off.
And they're not idle, either. That's the other word, isn't it? Idle. They're not idling. They'll be on the practice field, win or lose. But they don't have to
You don't idle when you're all gas, no brakes, Craig.
So, because of that...
You're welcome, Sark, for giving you content for your Zoom call next week.
There you go. But the thing about, as Jeff pointed out, there'll probably be a Zoom call next week, but not a news conference
right. On
Monday. So no news conference on that. And Jeff and I both are using the week, splitting it up to take care of some various and sundry things that are going on in our lives to do that. So on Monday and Tuesday of next week, Jeff will not be in I'll be here, obviously, on Monday and Tuesday, and we'll have our regular programming, but Jeff will be out on Monday and Tuesday. Jeff will be back in on Wednesday. I will be out the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in part because I'm guest lecturing up at my alma mater, North Texas. Also, I'm going to be dealing with some transit issues and with my mom who's up in the Metroplex. So I'm going to be helping her out a little bit. And also on I will be coming back in between on Thursday to do a special edition Longhorn basketball preview show from Pluckers, the West Campus location, because we don't have Longhorn Weekly with Coach Sark next Thursday with it being an open date. But we will have Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard, the premiere of that, a basketball preseason preview edition of Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard, next Thursday night at Pluckers, the West Campus location. So just a couple of programming notes for you there for next week. Jeff will be out Monday, Tuesday, and I'll be out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even though I'll be back for the Pluckers show, but I'll be zigzagging back and forth.
So since I'm out and he can't give me grief on the text line, Purple Buffalo's daddy, that's when he can go clean the outhouse or
stop
whatever
it.
They do in Gerald to pass the time. That's
don't
what
do
he
that.
Can, that's what he can do.
Don't do that. That's not nice. Not nice at all. You're just adding fuel to the fire there. I'm really kind of curious to see how the two of you get on one another if both of you, you know, take quite a whomping this weekend, your respective alma maters. I'm hoping that's not the case. I hope both win.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, Gerald win its matchup against Robinson. And the computer likes him.
Those are Craig's words, not mine.
I know. And I'd love to see the Florence Buffaloes pull off the shocker of the season and knock off top-ranked and undefeated Franklin.
We should all be lucky to look at high school football the way Snoop does. Snoop literally does want everybody to win. Like, that's why Snoop doesn't like district games, because that means area teams are guaranteed to lose.
Yeah. Sure, and then Snoop also says something sometimes. I heard you doing your Fox 7 hit this morning.
Mm. Oh, you heard me ask Amanda Salinas out to dinner?
Well, I heard that, too.
I caught that, yeah.
Heard that, too. No, I was more interested in your comment about Vandegrift. Mm. Now, the Vipers looked very good last night, and they won 35-7. Over Cedar Ridge. They look very, 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 very good, and they're going to be tough to deal with. And
forced three turnovers and seven punts.
Yeah, and it was that watch-along that Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine was doing, so Greg Tepper was in studio watching it with Frank Sandoval of West Mesquite and Riley Dodge, the head coach at South Lake Carroll. So they're all kind of sitting in the lounge area watching it, and Ashley Pickle, and they're making it. It was funny watching them do that, the watch along, but they're watching. They were all impressed with Vandegrift. So, I thought I heard you this morning, correct me if I'm wrong, on Fox 7, say that you thought this could be a really special year for Vandegrift.
I do.
Yeah. Which means what?
Which means they would take the next step to go to at least
which
the
means
Final Four.
Okay, well, okay. So that would mean beating Westlake in a quarterfinal is what you're saying.
No.
See, this is what I mean about it. I'm just saying you have to consider everything that you're saying. I'm not saying they won't beat them. I'm just saying you sometimes blurt things out like that. You'll say, they're going all the way. You kind of go Aunt Geronimo on us a little bit there. And I'm like, no, look ahead. And I'm not saying that they won't do it. I'm just saying understand the full impact of what potentially could be down the road. We do know that Vandegrift and Westlake will both be Division II.
Okay.
We know that for a fact.
Snoop, don't let logic get in the way of your optimism.
And Vandegrift was a quarterfinalist last year and played a team from 26-6A. It was Hayes. Hayes won that game, went to the semifinal, and Katie made quick work of them there en route to winning a state title. So I'm not saying they won't win. I'm just saying when you just, you know, unload with, they're going all the way. Just keep in mind.
I think Jeff Mudd on the text line said it best. We should all want to find somebody who looks at us the way Snoop looks at high school football.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Thank you, Jeff Mudd.
Travis Rebels going all the way. Break them up. Two wins in a row.
All right. You have to start with them getting into the playoffs. So Let's see if they do that. They've got big game with Northeast, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big win.
That's a big win for them. So that was important.
Then, right. So I think all they have to do is beat Crockett next week, and I think they have a good shot.
Okay, and Crockett, of course, had beaten Northeast.
Yes.
So that's the battle for the fourth spot there in 14-5A D2. So keep that in mind. And, of course, the de facto 14-5A D2 title on the line tonight in Liberty Hill, with Liberty Hill in action against Marble Falls. So just some other things to keep in mind there as we progress forward through this.
Two quick NFL notes before we get to the notebook. In case you haven't heard, Snoop, it's a good thing you picked the Cardinals because Kyler Murray's got him a new weapon. Big trade news in the NFL. The Cardinals traded for Zach Ertz.
Ooh.
Zach Ertz is now a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and I like CB sending this to me. Asked me if this has ever happened to myself or Rod Babers. Rod obviously wore the jersey at a much higher level than I ever would ever dream of.
Mm-hmm.
But Vita Vea was caught. Leonard Fournette's doing a post-game interview. Vita Vea's behind him doing a jersey exchange. And, of course, Vita Vea's, 350? I don't know. Vita Vea's a big guy. The jersey gets stuck, so like he's taking it off and it gets stuck on him, like when the shoulder pads are probably over his head, so he has to have a trainer come help him and pull him down. Yeah, when you're getting your pads off and your jersey, those things can get stuck. Those things are skin tight, so it does happen from time to time. The jersey gets stuck.
You get stuck. Yeah. All right. One thing we're not stuck with, we're happy to have, is the Longhorn Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
It is Friday, so in the first hour, I gave you three matchups to watch, and now we'll do three keys to a Longhorn victory.
Okay.
Key number one, Craig, we've talked about Spencer Sanders all week when we talked about this game. So key number one, with Spencer Sanders as it relates to the Texas defense, you have to minimize the boom, maximize the bust when you talk about Spencer Sanders, that boom or bust factor that he has. And again, his career against Texas, the two starts he's had in this series, kind of encapsulate who he is as a player. You realize, Craig, in two games, Spencer Sanders has thrown for over 1,000 yards against Texas.
That's amazing.
Two games, 1,068 yards, completing almost 65% of his passes, 120 yards on the ground. That said, five touchdowns, five turnovers, including a critical interception in the game 2 years ago in Austin, and then last year, that was mountains of turnovers. He had three critical turnovers in that loss for Oklahoma State in Stillwater. And I like what Sark said about giving up the deep ball yesterday on the Zoom call. But they did work on it this week. The secondary worked on playing those 50-50 balls and handling things on off-schedule plays when it turns into a scramble drill situation. Basically, the message to the secondary is this. On third and long, they do not catch the ball. Craig, I'm not going to be shocked if in a situation where it's a 50-50 ball and it's, 40-50 yards down the field, if you don't see a Texas defensive back just, I'm not going to say blatantly commit a pass interference penalty, but put themselves in a position where the official has to make a call. Because I think at this point, if you're Terry Joseph and Pete Kwiatkowski, you'd much rather give up the 15 than the 50.
Right.
So keep that in mind when you watch the Texas DBs tomorrow when the ball's in the air, if guys aren't on top of receivers and, again, forcing the official to make the call. There was a lot of hand fighting last week, and did Marvin Mims get away with a push-off on the 52-yard touchdown? Yeah, probably, but make the official make that call. I wonder if we see a different tactic from the Texas defensive backs in this game. Key number two, this is for Pete Kwiatkowski and the Texas defense. Again, figure out where to devote your resources. Look, this Texas defense is at a point where they've got to figure out what they want to do. They're not good enough right now or fundamentally sound enough against a quality offensive opponent to just hang back in that too high safety look and just kind of play base front, base coverage, and stop the run. They've got to devote more personnel to stopping the run, because if a team is just running the ball at will like Oklahoma did last week, now it opens up your entire playbook. It's all open. So Pete Kwiatkowski's just got to figure out where are you going to devote your resources. You're going to get beat somewhere, Craig. That's just the reality of where this Texas defense is. The snake's going to bite you. You just got to determine, okay, where's it going to bite me? I mean, if it bites me in the arm, I might be able to limp away and, get to the hospital and be fine at the end of the day. And if it bites me in the leg, I could fall down and just stay here and die and be screwed at the end of the day. So it's basically what's the best bad idea you have on how to fix a defense that's giving up plays in the passing game and giving up plays on the ground. So Pete Kwiatkowski, figure out where to devote your resources. Did you catch the blitz this week, Craig, and hear kind of my crazy idea on this?
I heard the tail end of it.
Okay.
So I'd like you to explain it.
If I'm PK, and he's not going to do it, but it's just my suggestion, I would switch B.J. Foster and Anthony Cook. I would let Anthony Cook, who, in my opinion, been your best defensive back this season, put him back there where his skill, you know, his intuition, his instincts might play. They just like they play well in that star position at the nickel, mm-hmm. they can play well at deep safety, and you can have a one-high look with Anthony Cook, maybe run some cover three, whatever. Put B.J. Foster at that star position and let him be a box defender to help you against the run. Because B.J. Foster, even this season, when he's in those situations, and granted, with Texas safeties right now filling the alley and making a tackle, it seems like a 50-50 proposition, but B.J. Foster, his physicality around the line of scrimmage, I think that's something you could really use right now. So well, I don't know, he's not going to do it, but you know,
yeah.
That's where you're at with this Texas defense throwing around different
ideas. That's where I heard when I tuned into the tail end of that, but I will say this. It's not a position with which he is unfamiliar.
Right. Because the star and the safeties, they all train together.
Right.
So if they wanted to put, I don't know, Jaron Thompson at that nickel position and let Anthony Cook play safety, they could do that. So there's a lot of different ways you can cross-train and mismatch and do some things there based on matchups. So that's
Didn't B.J. kind of work in that position at times in Chris Ash's defense?
Oh, Todd Orlando's defense, too. He played that joker position where they go to the dive package.
Exactly.
And Todd Orlando was a guy that liked having the option of having a big nickel package.
Right.
B.J. Foster worked some of that traditional nickel position as well. So he can do it. It's just I don't think they're going to do it. But, hey, like I said, it's where you're at. Just throwing out ideas, throw it at the wall, see if it sticks right now. It can't be worse than it was on Saturday, Craig. So, you know, what the hell. Just see what happens. So that's, to me, key number two for Pete Kwiatkowski, figure out where to devote your resources and go with it. Do you want to stop the pass or the run? You can't do both right now. And key number three, Adjust. Even the offense, as good as the offense was in the Oklahoma game, Steve Sarkisian's opening script, watch college football, watch big-time college football games all year. You probably will not find a better first 15 or so play scripted than what Steve Sarkisian had for Oklahoma. That plan he had, it was freaking awesome. Everything we talked about leading up to the game, you know, pre-snap motions and shit, all the stuff we talked about, he did. It was in about those 15, 16 opening plays. But after that, in the second half, it was almost like the plan was salt the game away with Bijan Robinson. Well, you couldn't do that because your offensive line started overwhelmingly losing the battle along the line of scrimmage. And there was really never an adjustment there. Now, they did end up putting together a drive in the fourth quarter to tie the game. But Sark has to adjust. The chess match between Sark and Jim Knowles is fascinating. Because Jim Knowles has done a fantastic job turning around that Oklahoma State defense. So that's the chess match I'm anxious to see. But Pete Kwiatkowski also, Craig, if you go back to that game, their plan for Spencer Rattler was awesome. But it was so good, you got him knocked out of the game. And then you didn't have a plan at all for Caleb Williams, and what happened. So that's one thing this staff, as they continue to work together and come together and figure out, okay, how does everybody function on a game day in the face of adversity, adjust. You've got to have a plan, but the famous Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. When Texas gets punched in the face, what is the counterpunch? How do they rally back?
So there you have it. And I asked Sark on Longhorn Weekly, which aired last night, about the scripting out of plays.
Yeah.
And how much he enjoys it. Because we got a fan question who asked, what's your favorite part of a game week other than the game? What's your favorite part of the game week? And he went into grand detail about how his mind works. He said, when we get done here, I'll go back and I'll start working plays, and I'll start working through the formations. And I asked him, I said, you really like the scripting of the plays? And he goes, absolutely. And he goes, that's what runs through my mind and envisioning how the defenses are going to operate when you first start. It reminds me, again, for those of you seen Searching for Bobby Fischer, you know, when Ben Kingsley sweeps the chess pieces off the board and tells the kid, Josh Waitzkin, don't move until you see it. Don't move until you say it. He goes, let me make it easier. Clears all the pieces off the board to unclutter the mind and then see what you want to see. Well, Sark sees what he wants to see, goes and is and is sketching out in his mind how he wants to script out those plays. And Joey says, I'll go back to work and I'll think about it, and I'll think about it tomorrow, meaning Thursday with our practice on Thursday and Friday through a walkthrough, and Friday night when I get together with the quarterbacks. And we go through and we explain, here's why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Here's why we think this
will work. That's the important part, the why.
Yeah.
Why you're doing it.
Here's why we're doing it, why we think this will work. So that, you know, it goes into what you're saying about the scripting out of the play.
And it's not just, you know, scripting those first 15. You're also scripting, you want your best drive starters.
Right.
What are your best first down calls? What are your best third and medium calls, your best third and short calls, your red zone calls, your two, what do you like in 2 minute? What do you like in a 4 minute when you got to, you know, kind of play your four corners offense and finish off a game? So that whole game planning deal, it's a lot more than those first 15 plays.
No doubt about it. All right, there's your Longhorn Notebook for this hour. When we come back, Jeff and I will have a few final things before we wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff with you here as we get ready to wrap up a week of Light the Tower. You know, when we, first of all, back to the Specs text line, Victor, who we know is being the major domo and impresario at Nelson Field, said, the game last night at Nelson, Snoop, got very sloppy between Travis and Northeast, but a win is a win is a win, you know? So
Travis has to be very thankful for Nate Davis. Craig, he had, 200 rushing yards, 150 passing yards, two interceptions, and a fumble recovery.
It's a lot.
That dude, he went in last night. And that was Travis's first time to beat Northeast.
Northeast.
Since they were Reagan, 2013. So that's a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice win there for the Rebels. And as Victor said, it might have gotten a little bit sloppy, but at least, a win is a win is a win. He did put it quite right. We had another question say, is Taylor going to make the playoffs? I'll tell you what. Beat Canyon Lake next week and I'll get back with you.
That's a tall order.
Yeah. You gotta beat them, tonight because, I think LBJ is obviously in. I think Fredericksburg is going to be in, and I think Lampasas is going to be in. So, yeah, it's that fourth spot is Canyon Lake, Taylor, and Burnett all fighting for it there. And Burnett's playing Lampasas tonight, Battle of Highway 281.
I just saw this, and I haven't followed the spread as much as I probably should. I just saw the Texas-Oklahoma State games down to Texas -4.
Is that what it is?
That game, yeah.
So,
I think it opened at 5.5.
Think I heard.
Yeah, that sounds right. 5.5.
Yeah, I think I heard this morning with Bucky and Aaron. They had Lee Sterling on Paramount Sports, and he's taking Oklahoma State not only to cover but to win.
Well, we did staff predictions yesterday at Horns 24/7. It always makes me nervous when the staff is unanimous.
Does that mean it could be a big crash and burn?
Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Unanimously, the Horns 24/7 staff going with Texas over Oklahoma State. I went with a 4-point Texas victory, a 30-26 win for the Longhorns, because what it boils down for me in this game, what I boil it down to, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, I don't trust Spencer Sanders. In big games, his propensity to turn the football over, he's done it against Texas, he's got a history of doing it against Texas, and the one thing this Texas defense does well, and they play pretty good in the red zone, but the one thing you can say unequivocally they do well, they can turn you over. They'll take advantage of your mistakes. They'll try to strip the ball. I mean, the Deshaun Jameson fumble, non-fumble on the Kennedy Brooks run is a right. Perfect example of where this defense is right now. They hunt the strip. They try their best to hunt the ball when they're in a position to play it in the air. I know that's kind of a 50-50 proposition at this point at best, but the bottom line is Texas defense has done a really good job of forcing turnovers through the first five games, and again, until Spencer Sanders can get through a Texas game, proving that he can protect the football for four quarters reasonably well, I think Texas is going to get a couple of those. And one thing we didn't talk about last week, Craig, I talked about it a little bit this week, but on those turnovers, man, the offense did a really good job of playing well in those sudden change possessions, a couple of three-play drives into the end zone. So
it's true.
That's the
it
key.
It wasn't like with the TCU game, 3 turnovers, 9 points.
Yeah.
3 turnovers, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, you got to play really good sudden change offense. Talk about sudden change defense, but Texas has to get in the habit of playing a really good sudden change offense. Like you said, not so much against TCU. They did it against Oklahoma. And if you get those turnovers tomorrow, you got to play really good sudden change offense.
Give me a player not on the radar, so to speak, not a frontline mention for Texas who you think could have a big game.
I think it's got to be Keelan Robinson. With Jordan Whittington out, everybody's wondering who's going to step up, which wide receiver. I don't think it's a wide receiver. I think it's a guy in that running back room. And I felt like Sark had been holding some stuff back with Keelan Robinson saving it for the Oklahoma game. We didn't really see him. I mean, I think he went out, what, 2 or 3 snaps, period, in the OU game. I think now with Jordan Whittington out, I think whatever you've got for Keelan Robinson, now's the time to force the issue, and you got to see more 7 tomorrow.
Okay, I'm with you on the first part of that with Jordan Whittington out, ... I'm with you on that. I'm going with Marcus Washington.
Okay.
Because Mike Gundy this week had made a lot of commentary about Xavier Worthy and Joshua Moore, number 8, number 6, and, you know, he talked about them a lot. And it makes you wonder, Marcus was so close on the one catch there that was just barely out last week against Oklahoma. He's been coming, and I know that Sark likes him, and they think that he might be able to step up. I like your thoughts about Keelan Robinson and how he could step up and change things dynamically.
Yeah, they've been waiting for one of those two guys, Marcus Washington or Kelvonte Dixon, to step up and take a bigger role. Marcus Washington, Craig, I'm glad you bring him up. He didn't get enough credit for this. That dude blocks his tail off. Like, you go look at the Xavier Worthy touchdown on the screen pass to open the game. He makes that thing happen and turns it into a one-on-one that Worthy wins. So Marcus Washington's doing a really good job. He's earned the right to try to catch the football based on the way he's blocked so far through the first 5 games.
How about these St. Louis kids, you know? They've got stuff on the run. And unfortunately, you know, injuries have impacted the other two. So,
but we'll see. Like I said, I like Texas tomorrow. We'll see if it happens. But the Spencer Sanders factor, that's going to tell the tale one way or the other, in my opinion.
All right. We invite you to stay tuned. Up next, we'll be Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey, for our man behind the glass, Newt Daniel, and for Jeff Howe. He'll be out Monday, Tuesday, but I'll be back here. I'm Craig Way. I'll be back on Monday with the next edition of Light the Tower on the Horn.
What's the only thing worse than losing to OU? Losing when you led by 21.